speak about now is hope. Hope that God would hear our prayers. And the hope that I'm talking about, guys, let's just be clear about this. The hope that I'm talking about is having a firm and certain confidence that what God has promised will come true. That's the hope that we're talking about. And God's made us many, many promises, hasn't he? If you think about it, the Bible is full of these wonderful promises that God makes to us. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He promises that nothing, nothing can separate us from his love, right? He promises that he's left us the gift of his Holy Spirit. He promises that we will overcome even death. I mean, I could go on and just speak for the next half hour about his promises. But we have a hope in his promises, and I think 1 Peter sums it up pretty well. And when we're talking about a Christian hope, Peter writes, we have a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And while I know inheritance seems to speak of something in the future and perhaps a notion of heaven in the future, heaven is right now, guys. And I think the really important thing that God is telling us through Peter in those words is that we have a living hope. Not some distant future hope, but a living hope. We have a hope that is alive in us now. It's a living hope that I would suggest to you is also life-giving. It's a wonderful gift from God that each of us is able to share with others. Now, I don't know if any of you remember it, but some years ago, do you remember when the atheist movement had spent a little bit of money and was taking out banners that they were putting on the side of red buses here in London? Do any of you remember that? Well, these banners were being plastered all over London, and what it read was this. It said, there's probably no God, so stop worrying and enjoy your life. So let me ask you, I mean, is that supposed to be life-giving to the person who reads that? I mean, is that supposed to be a promise of good news? In his book, Unapologetic, Francis Spofford writes this. He said, let's be clear about the emotional logic of the bus's message. There's no help coming. It amounts to a denial of hope. You know, I agree. I'll be totally honest with you. When it comes to belief in God and in his promises, I mean, people can accuse me of being deluded. I don't really care. They can think I'm an idiot or I'm stupid or what have you. I don't mind. But take away my hope? Is that a gift? The truth is that my belief, my very faith walk, is built on and it's sustained by emotions like hope. And my hope is real. My hope makes a difference. And it's not just me. Philip Yancey, some of you will have read his book, Where is God When It Hurts? He tells of this experience of Major Harold Kushner, who was an American medical, Army medical officer that was held in a POW camp for about 5.5 years during the Vietnam War. And Yancey writes this. He says, Kushner got to know one POW, a tough young Marine who had already survived 2 years of prison camp life. The Marine was a model POW, keeping himself in good health and leading the camp's thought reform group, mainly because the camp commander had promised to release those who cooperated. As time passed, however, the Marine gradually discerned that his captors had lied to him. When the full realization of this fact sunk in, he became a zombie, refusing all work and rejecting all offers of food and encouragement. He simply lay on his cot, sucking his thumb. In a matter of weeks, he was dead. And that's why I say hope matters. Now, I want to just for a moment try to paint this mental picture, if I can, in your minds. It's based on what we read from Romans 5:13. Paul writes this. He says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him, that is, you have faith in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's just unpack that. Think about this picture that I want to paint. It starts with hope, God being the source of that hope. And we're told that with that hope, it will fill us with a spirit of joy and of peace. And Paul goes on to say that joy and that peace will then feed and support us in our faith. And then our faith will lead to an overflowing confidence in abundant hope. Do you see that? So this hope, which starts with God, feeds through to a spirit of joy and peace, which feeds through to our faith, which then again feeds through to hope. It's this wonderful, wonderful virtual circle. And if you take that song that we sometimes sing, I didn't know if Chris was going to sing it today, Cornerstone, you know, Christ Alone. The lyric, as you know, is based on an ancient hymn, but perhaps you remember the words. We start with, my hope is built on nothing less, right? And then we get to those words that I know you guys all love as I do. My anchor holds within the veil. And you're like saying, yeah, I love that. What does that mean? Or maybe you do know what it means. I was singing it and saying, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It's actually from Hebrews 6:19. Let me read these words to you. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the veil. On our behalf, Jesus has gone in there before us and has become a high priest forever. So just to be clear, our hope, our anchor is Jesus. And remember from Romans, God is the source of that hope. That hope is lodged within the veil. That's a reference to the curtain. Remember that would hang in the tabernacle that guarded and separated the Holy of Holies. So our hope is Jesus, and this hope is anchored directly in the place where we meet God face to face. Isn't that remarkable? And so that's why no matter what's going on in our lives, even as we sing in that song, through every high and stormy gale, our hope in God can be trusted because, you see, it's anchored in the very place where God is. And I don't know if you'll remember quite a lot here, but I said a few moments ago that our hope is a wonderful gift from God that we can share with others. And I just encourage you, maybe there's somebody back in your office that needs to find hope. Maybe you've got a friend or a family member who've lost hope. Can I just let you know that you can be bearers of hope? And can I just conclude by saying you are having a bigger impact on the people that you encounter than I think you even possibly know. The author A.N. Wilson wrote an article some years back that I read in the Spectator magazine, and it described his move from faith to atheism and then his return to faith. And I was struck by one of the main reasons that he gave for his return to faith. He wrote this, "I was drawn over and over again to the disconcerting recognition that so very many of the people that I had most admired and loved, either in life or in books, had all been believers." He was drawn to that. And you too, as believers, are impacting the lives of those that you encounter. So I'm going to ask you to receive a full portion of the hope of God. And I want to encourage you to take that life-giving hope with you wherever you go. Have we got a deal? Does that sound good? Amen.